Now, the Trail Talk Podcast, anything and everything snowmobiling by UpstateSnow.com with Rich Lupia and Zachary Lupia.
Welcome to the Trail Talk Podcast. This is Rich Lupia from UpstateSnow.com, and we are going to be talking to several people in the snowmobile community about snowmobile issues. Zach and I will share our rides with you throughout the season and just have this be a great conversation for you to listen to while you're at work or in the car, or if you're out for a run or workout, wherever your plans may take you. Hopefully this will be entertaining for you. I know it's certainly been entertaining for me and for my first guest on the Trail Talk Podcast. He is the king of Indian Lake, New York. He is Mr. Chamber of Commerce. He runs ILSnow.com. He is heavily involved in snowmobiling and has been for a very long time. Current Hamilton County President of the New York State Snowmobile Association. It is Darren Haar from ILSnow.com. Mr. Indian Lake, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Rich. So happy to be here.
So you've told me a little bit of your story, and I want to hear it again just because it's a really awesome one. And I was thinking about one of the first snowmobile stories that you told me on the way up here. It's November when we're doing this podcast. Some of the smaller ponds and lakes have started to skim over with ice already, believe it or not. And I thought about this one story that you told me about how excited you were Thanksgiving when you were young and you went speeding across the ice and thinking, woohoo, I'm going to be the first one on the lake. And you look back and kind of looks like that scene from Polar Express where the train's about to dump into the lake or the ocean or whatever frozen body of water that was. So
yeah, I don't remember if it was this Thanksgiving or early December, but it was early and it was on Adirondack Lake and it skimmed over. It looked pretty solid. So I just wanted to, grip it and rip it across. At that point in the season, it's not really good to ride the trails because they're all just, rutted and swampy and all that stuff. So I thought, just a quick rip across a lake would be cool. So I went ahead and did it, and everything felt pretty good. The last, I'd say, like several hundred feet, it kind of felt like there was some debris going through the track underneath me. And I got to the other side and then I did the U-turn and I was about to blast across the lake. And before I got into the lake, I saw that there was just ice just broken wide open. I mean, just chunks of ice floating by. And I'm just like, oh crap. So I'm like, I'm not going back this way. So I think I just end up taking Adirondack Lake Road back up the Route 28 and just kind of went along the shoulder of 28 back into town or something and just parked my sled.
Yeah, a little bit safer journey. Yeah. And what sled was that on?
It was a Moto Ski Mirage 2.
There's a blackmail picture of that out there somewhere, I'm sure. Probably on your site, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, I put it up there, yeah. Thankfully, it's buried under about 100 other photos, but I'm sure somebody could dig it up and blackmail me.
Yeah, so, I mean, snowmobiling, especially growing up in Indian Lake, is something that you've always loved. What were some of the early influences that got you into snowmobiling? Was it family? Was it friends?
Well, I was kind of born into it, and my dad back in the day ran Marty's tavern, and we had a snowmobile trail go like right into our backyard. So every Saturday we would just have dozens of snowmobiles just show up to warm up, get something to eat or something. My dad would make like roast beef sandwiches or pizza or something quick to fix and eat. And I lived upstairs above Marty's tavern, so I would see these snowmobiles just come into the backyard, and I would just wonder to myself, what would it be like to ride these machines? And, back in that day, we didn't have cable or satellite, so we just had the antenna. So we just got like channel 6, 10, 13, 23, and 17 from Albany. And the interesting thing about the snowmobiles that when the snowmobiles would approach the building, it would completely interfere with the signal. So by like 11 or 12 o'clock, we couldn't watch our Saturday morning cartoons.
I mean, everyone was pulling in.
It was just snow on the screen. I mean, in fact, I could tell when a snowmobile was within 10 minutes from arriving at my house because this, you know, you'd start to get the little interference on the screen and it would just get closer and the waves would get larger on the screen. And like, yeah, by late morning or early afternoon with the snowmobiles just coming and going, I couldn't watch the cartoons anymore.
Wow.
So, you know, and I remember, I remember one of my first rides that Dad took me on, and it was a Alpine. It was like a double track single ski, and it had like the carburetor that would like if you would start the snowmobile and it would backfire and spit sparks and burn a hole in your jacket, and then it would, you know, or if it took off, it would suck your jacket into it and like cut the air out and stall. So, and you would have to literally carry a box of spark plugs and parts because it was going to break down somewhere along your ride. But I remember he would take me down to Lake Adirondack Lake. And then, you know, for some of you people that might know where 42nd and Broadway is, and then the old trail that used to take you up to Elm Island. I remember that ride specifically. And, you know, but I never really got into riding until, you know, after my parents had split up and then I had moved away. And then, you know, I would come up for vacations and holidays up to Dad's house. And back at that day, my dad and his brothers and brother-in-law would go out ice fishing. And it was really great why they catch fish. But kids got bored quickly when we weren't catching fish. So, you know, it'd be me and my siblings and my cousins, and we would complain that we had nothing to do. The adults could drink, you know, beer and have fun. Kids weren't really going to do that. So basically the solution to the kids' boredom was just to let us ride the snowmobiles around Indian Lake, like on the lake where they were ice fishing. And, you know, they weren't really powerful snowmobiles. I mean, they were like, you know, 340 cc's or 250.
You were lucky to get up to 40 miles an hour.
Right. I mean, if we had like a 440, that was a big deal. And we would just ride around the lakes. And if, you know, sometimes the lakes get a little slushy or we, you know, one of us would get stuck and we were like 12, you know, maybe 10 years old and we weren't big enough to pull the snowmobiles out. So, you know, like if I got stuck, you know, somebody would run back to the ice shanty, the adult, you know, one of the grownups would come up, you know, come out and pull the sled out of the slush or whatever. And then we'd be on our merry way again. So that's really kind of how I got my start into snowmobiling. And then after a while, you know, it's, you know, riding the lakes got boring. So we kind of graduated to trail riding. And, you know, back in that day, the snowmobiles were smaller and we could kind of, you know, we could ride to each other's friend's house easily. You know, we'd fit through the space between the trees or whatever and just go back and forth. So we had like our own little trail network. So that's just kind of how I got started with it, like in my teenage years.
So then you go off to college, you go off to the University at Albany, you get your degree in atmospheric science from the University at Albany, and then you go to down to central Pennsylvania to AccuWeather. And you were away from this in the mid-1990s.
In the mid-90s. And I was cutting my teeth as a meteorologist at AccuWeather. I worked like the overnight shift for like 3 years, and that was just awful. And I managed to get myself out of that. But the thing is, when you get yourself onto the day shift, you're basically starting over again behind a whole bunch of guys who've been there for 10, 15, 20 years. So, you know, you're doing just all the menial stuff, and it just wasn't much fun. But, you know, what really was getting to me was, you know, State College, Pennsylvania was, you know, it's like an 8-hour drive from Indian Lake. So it's not like I could just hop up there for a weekend and just go riding. It was just, you know, I would have to go up there once, maybe twice a winter, and I'd have to dedicate at least 3 or 4 days. And man, during that time, I'd ride that snowmobile until the wheels fell off. But what really killed me was we'd get these storms and, like, you know, we would get, like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 inches of snow, and then it would just change to rain and wash away in central Pennsylvania. Meanwhile, Indian Lake's getting another 8, 9, 10, 12 inches of snow. And I just could not take that. And you know, the thing at AccuWeather wasn't working out so well. And my wife and I both wanted to get back to Indian Lake. So the opportunity for us to move back up here came in 1998. A job became available for me at Glens Falls. In the meteorology field, it was something different. I was routing ships across the oceans using my forecast skills for that. But a caretaking job became available at the Indian Lake Dam, where I've been for the past 21 years, where, yeah, my father-in-law was the caretaker of the dam. He had this place, and although somebody else was living in it, my father-in-law had the position of caretaker. So, heck yeah, I was moving back up here and moving into the dam, Indian Lake Dam.
That's awesome. And so you got up here, and once that dam story was completed, you now move into the late 90s, and you're finally back here, and then this idea popped into your head.
Well, not right away, but we're getting pretty close. So that first winter I was up here, the first sled I ever owned outright was a Motoski Mirage 1, actually, that my father-in-law had given me. It was like a one-cylinder, I think it might have been air-cooled. I don't even know if it was fan-cooled. And I just rode that thing until it fell apart. I mean, just rode around, and it was amazing. And, you know, it's like, this is a great experience. And it's like, I was finding places to try to report this. Like, I just want to get people to come up to Indian Lake and ride. So I found this, you're going to laugh, but this great site called trailconditions.com. You're laughing now, but back in the day, it was a decent website. Okay. Before the termites took over.
That was back when Yahoo was the number one search engine, I think.
Yeah, this was when my hair was a lot longer.
Mine too, probably.
Yeah. So anyway, I would post trail reports on Indian Lake, but the problem was it was a Old Forge Tug Hill-centric website. So I would post something on Indian Lake, and, you know, like 6 hours later, it was buried under 10 posts for Old Forge. You know, I'm just like, man, this is just, you know, my message is getting lost. So there was a guy, he was a meteorologist. His name was John Dee. I don't know if you're aware of his website, but he lived in Chicago, and he had a dream to move up to the upper peninsula of the Keweenaw Peninsula of upper Michigan. Mm-hmm. And he did that so he could snowmobile all the time. And he was a meteorologist, and he applied his trade. You know, he had weather forecasts on his website, and he did all that. And so I became a follower of his. And then the next winter, that's what really got me thinking about doing my own website. And I remember it was the spring of, at that point, it was 1999. My first son was born. And I was looking for another snowmobile because I knew my Mirage 1 wasn't going to cut it for what I wanted to do. And I was looking around. I forgot where I found it, but there was a guy in Watertown that was selling a 1995 Formula S. It was a 380 fan cool. It was a quantum leap for me. And I think the price was around $1,500 or something. You know, I had the money, so I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna drive over to Watertown or somewhere near there and talk to this guy. And, you know, I had $1,500 in hand, and it was kind of funny because he was selling his snowmobile because he had his first kid and he was getting out. I had my first kid and I was getting in. I was putting everything all in. So
I guess it's just a matter of perspective there.
Yeah, maybe it was misplaced priorities on my part. I don't know. But I brought that sled back, and, you know, that's when the possibilities just kind of went in front of me. And I'm just like, dang, you know, there's this guy running a website in Michigan that's extremely popular, meteorologist, that's doing a website on snowmobiling. I'm like, you know, anybody can just put trail conditions up on a website. But I thought my special contribution to it, maybe my unfair advantage, would be use my experience as a meteorologist. You know, I'd been a practicing meteorologist for several years by then, but, you know, I had a knack for knowing what it was going to do in Indian Lake because of all my years of following the weather up here. So why not create a website, put my information out there, so it's my information. I'm controlling the story the whole time. I'm not having information from Old Forge, you know, clogging up my website. And I don't remember when and how I named it IL Snow exactly, but I remember making like these homemade business cards, you know, stacks of them, and, you know, handing them out at local businesses. And I remember starting like on a Packard Bell computer with Publisher 97, a computer that always crashed on dial up. And it's just like, and looking back on it, I don't know how this website got off the ground, because I just spent more time just trying to slog my, it was not easy. I was slogging my way through it. And I remember looking back at, there's a website called like archive.org where you can look, it saves screenshots of your website. I went back to like 1999 or 2000. I looked at it, it's like, this is embarrassing. It was like two pages, had like this funfetti background. It was just a trail report and a forecast for Indian Lake. No pictures, no nothing. It was just my story. So it was just,
but it caught on, and it was good information, and that led to you becoming one of the most popular and one of the most sought after websites in the Adirondacks. So you built a personality, you built a brand, and by the mid 2000s, you had quite the following.
Well, I did, but there was one huge break that I got, and you know, up until 2003, I was getting a steady following. I was getting hundreds of people look at my website a day, which to me was just amazing, because like a nobody like me commanding that kind of attention. I'm like, this is cool. People are responding. This is the point where people were like emailing me and asking me questions, and I would reply to, and it was, I knew it was starting to gather a head of steam, and it kept me going. Like, you know, when my computer would barf or my dial-up just croaked, or, you know, with dial-up, it was like I couldn't be on the internet or the phone at the same time. So, you know, I got a family, you know, I got people in the house expecting phone calls. So I'd be considerate to that. So, you know, half the time I would end up working on my website, you know, after everybody went to bed, because nobody would be making phone calls at that point. So my really big break came when Adirondack Life wanted to interview me. Because, you know, we had just got done with the winter of 2003 or 2002-03, which was a legendary winter.
Yeah, that was the last true gate-to-gate winter where snowing at the beginning of December, even before that, and just was constant all the way through until end of March, beginning of April.
Yeah, so there was a very high interest in a meteorologist in the Adirondacks. You know, the lady from Adirondack Life got to, call me, and her name was Annie Stolte, and I think she's still with Adirondack Life, actually, all those years later. Anyway, she wanted to interview me, and I'm like, well, you know, I'm very cautious. I'm just like, okay, it's like, how are they going to spin this, you know? So I said, okay, but one condition. I said, I got this little website called IL Snow, and I'd like for you to mention it somewhere in the article. And they're like, great, we'll do it. So Annie came over to my house, and we spent like a long time. She interviewed me, and it ended up being like a 4-page article in Adirondack Life.
Wow.
And there was an Adirondack renowned photographer, Nancy Battaglia. I think I got her name right. And she took all kinds of pictures. And I think the one that ended up making the article was me, you know, holding a holding my precipitation gauge with a ruler in it or something. It was just, I just had like this serious look on my face, like no, you know, no nonsense, you know, just, you know, focused or whatever. But it ended up being a really huge article. And there are many people to this day who told me that that's how they first heard of I.L. Snow. And that's when, after the article came out, the following winter, that's when the growth was exponential. And instead of hundreds of people looking at my website a day, ended up being thousands of people looking at my website a day. And over the course of the winter, getting 1 million or 2 million page views, you know, a year. And the vast majority of that comes in the period between November and April. Mm-hmm. So just... That was my huge break, and I think that helped me a lot. But it was a really humble beginning, and you know, at that time there were a lot fewer websites, so in some ways it was easier to gain attraction. Now it's so easy to start a website, you kind of get lost in the noise. But
same thing for a podcast too. Yeah. And I appreciate your help.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to help, because I know how difficult it is to gain traction, and I think what really got me through it was I was just young and stubborn back then. I didn't know I was supposed to fail. You know, it was just, I'm doing this. People are responding to it. I'll keep doing it. And it just, you know, the work I put into it in the beginning is just, you know, I look back on it and just wonder, it's like, how did I do it? You know, but I guess when you're young, you just plow through it.
Yeah. And, you know, people just had that connection with you. They had that engagement with you, and it just continued on and it continued to grow. And so now we move into the 20 teens and the website gets a lot more advanced. Yeah. The snowmobile gets a lot more advanced. This is where
it's a different game.
Yeah, it's a whole different ball game. And instead of the big ride being over to Inlet through the Moose River Plains, as you say now, that's just a warm up ride.
Yeah, when I started IL Snow, it was a big deal to ride from Indian Lake to Inlet, to the old barn, grab a bite to eat and head back home. You know, that would, you know, it'd be good for, you know, 85, 90 mile-ish or something. And if I wanted to pad it to 100, you know, I'll run around the town loop a couple times and say I hit 100. You know, woohoo, you know. Now it's just like, you know, probably for me, like 150 miles to 170 is probably a standard issue ride. And I would say over the course of the season, you know, assuming we get a good enough winter, I'll get several times where I get 200 miles in a ride, and my bucket list is to get over 300 in a day. But I think for me, things kind of have to line up really well for that. And I kind of have to get up really early in the morning to do that.
And you got to have a lot of stamina and ride late into the night for that one.
Yeah. I mean, my personal max was just, I think 270 or something in a day. And that was accomplished by riding down a Speculator and over to Morehouse, up through Remsen, you know, Boonville, hit a little bit of Tug, crossed the valley, Branningham, up over the top to Old Forge, and came back to Indian Lake. Yeah, that was a long day.
That's an epic loop.
But it was, you know, it was like early March, and it was perfect because we'd recently had a snowstorm. They had a couple days to groom it. I think that morning it was minus 20, so everything just set up beautiful. And I think out of the 270-mile ride, I think we hit bumpy trails maybe for like 5 miles in total. It was just one of those magical days. And I had a couple wingmen with me, a couple of good friends that I've known since I was, you know, kindergarten. So, yeah, it worked out really great.
That's awesome. So IL Snow has continued to grow and has continued to gain followers from a wide variety of different sources. And so, you know, tell me how much the growth affected you once you came home for your work, because you were working in Glens Falls from 1998 to 2014, and then things went south with the job there for the day job.
Yeah.
But you had a chance to come home here.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it, kind of looking back on it, I wonder how I made it through that. And I think having the website kind of helped me get through it, because it gave me something to kind of hold on to. It's, yeah, I mean, I take an honest look at who I am. In 150 years, hardly anyone's going to remember who I was or what I did. And, you know, doing the IL Snow and getting to interact with thousands of people. I mean, honestly, it's probably the closest thing I'll ever, you know, be to becoming a rock star. And, you know, and sometimes it's kind of weird, because it's like, I have a great snowmobile ride. I'm doing the website. I'm cranking along. And then the next day it's like, I got to go back to work, which, you know, it's kind of a crash, you know, that way. But when it's really going bad at work, it's just like this really bad crash. It's just like, oh, I got to go back to work. I got to go back to this, you know. And it's just, you know, I think having to do IL Snow, and it's just, you know, it's something that I want to do. It's something I do the way I want to. It's something that nobody dictates to me. And if I want to take a break from it for a while, I do. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I get to put it down, you know, especially when it's not snowing. You know, once the winter's over, I can just put it down for a while.
Right.
And so, you know, I think doing IL Snow really helped me do, you know, to get through it. And I think in a really dark moment, and I don't know if this is appropriate for a podcast or not, but I remember it was really the one time at the bottom of my experience toward the end of my job in Glens Falls. I don't want to say I felt suicidal, but it was I consider what life would be without me, because I just almost couldn't take it anymore. But it was a thought, you know, I captured it, I put it away, I made it through, and, you know, I went to the other side. And I, you know, I guess having been in that low, I can understand why people might think that's the way out. You know, it's just, and like I said, I'm not sure it's appropriate for this podcast, but, you know, I think, you know, people look and see the persona I put on my website. You know, this is Darren Haar, you know, enjoying snowmobiling, you know, and I think it's magnetic. I think people sense what I do with it, and they're just drawn to it like a moth to a flame.
Yeah.
But that's just the tip of the iceberg. And that, you know, I have a life with this, and I think IL Snow doing that is really, it's helped me through, you know, a few dark times.
People like you and me that are out there, we've been out in the public for many years. A lot of people know us. There's a lot of places we go where people know us. And there is that perception that somehow we've got it all together, or this image of, oh, well, you know, this is easy, or this is easy, or this is that, this is that. And that's totally not the case. We go through life. We have good days. We have bad days. You know, we're subject to all the cares and all the troubles that everyone else has. And in a way, you almost feel like you can't have a break.
Well, I mean, I think social media has exasperated that quite a bit. I mean, I've got...
Totally.
I mean, it's like, for, you know, I got a phone here with probably thousands of pictures on it, but how many of them made it to my Facebook page, whether it's my personal page or my IL Snow page? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You pick the best of the best. You know, it's like you take 1,000 pictures and you know, you take 12 pictures and put one up, you know? Mm-hmm. You're like, you're taking, you know, you're trying to get that right angle that shows you in the most flattering way with the biggest smile on. And it's just like, you know, but at the same time, it's like, I don't think it's appropriate to air my dirty laundry on Facebook either. I think there's a line that you have to keep private, you know, there's the background stuff that's going on in your life. So I think people just have to be cognizant that, you know, when you see someone's Facebook page or whatever, you're seeing the best of them. You're seeing the tip of the iceberg, and there's a whole bunch of it you don't see. And, you know, people, you know, we all have our struggles, and it's good. You know, if someone's giving you a hard time about something, you know, maybe give them a little bit of grace, because they're going through tough times too.
So through the good, through the bad, through all of the growth, through blessings and through trials, here we sit 20 years into this. You're going into your 21st winter now.
Dang.
So where does this go from here? Where is IL Snow in a couple of years? Where do you want it to go? What is the mission and the vision, if there is one at this point?
Well, I'm gonna revert back to my analytical, logical self here and just look at it from my eyes. As somebody who's run a successful website, I know my demographics. My chief demographic is age 45 to 55 male. Not to say that there aren't other people of other age groups or females look at my website. I mean, I capture a whole lot of people.
Right.
But my power bandwidth is the middle-aged male. And you know what? If age 47, I'm in the middle of my prime right now. I don't see any end to it yet. I think, I don't know what I can do for another quantum leap. I know what I can do is just continue to get better at what I'm doing. The bedrock of my website has always been honesty. I'd sooner end my website than lie to somebody about trail conditions or what the weather is doing. I mean, yeah, I can forecast the weather and be wrong, but if I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to tell people I'm wrong and say, hey, this is what actually happened. I might have forecasted X, but Y actually happened, and this is what you're going to encounter when you get up here. I think it's just a matter of incremental growth. It's like going to the gym. You're not going to see big growth every time you go to the gym. Your improvement happens when you keep going to the gym, you keep showing up, and one day you notice you can lift a load that's 5 pounds heavier that you couldn't before. And then you work on that, you put more reps on that, and you grow it. And I think that's what I do with IL Snow, is just find ways to get better. It's like I find better ways to engage on, Facebook. And I think one of those ways, I think I caught on to something when I did my summer suck stickers.
Oh, you totally did. Made a few people upset, but more than outweighed by people that were like, yeah.
Well, the funny thing is, it was the summer of 2018, and I'm just like, what can I do to keep people engaged? What can I do to keep my hooks in them? What can I do to get people to follow me through the summer, and just charge, And I'm like thinking, I've been doing hashtag summer sucks with my post for the past, few years. I'm like, what if I make a sticker? But, the logical person in me is like, I don't want to go through the trouble of making all these stickers and have them not sell. That's gonna stink. I made the mistake with doing that with t-shirts.
Yeah, and like, I remember you put out the poll, and the response was overwhelming.
Well, the thing was, I did a markup on these stickers. I did all the research. It's like I know where I'm gonna order them. I know the design, so I just did a markup, and I sent an email to my membership list and put a post on Facebook. I said, here's what it is. If I get orders for 100 stickers in a week, I'll push the button and just order them and just go for it. But, I said, you buy the stickers, I'll send them. And if I don't get enough interest, I'll refund you. No problem. Well, I think over the years, people trust me enough to know I'm not just going to keep their money and run.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, if I get 100, orders for 100 stickers in a week, I'll go for it. In like 3 hours, I had orders for 100 stickers.
So how much in a week?
I ended up having orders for like over 400 stickers.
And that was just a start. You're probably into the thousands now.
Yeah, I've sold like close to the initial burst has subsided, but I've sold close to 1,000 stickers now.
Wow.
After the initial excitement wears off, it's kind of just like it kind of pings in after that. But all those emails coming in with people ordering, so I'm like, okay, this is real. I got to do this. So I order the stickers. I order the mailers. I get all this stuff together. I got my spreadsheet together. And on this very table that we're doing the interview, I had a mini post office going. So I I you know, so for overnight, I think like, you know, 5 or 6 hours into the night, I was stuffing the envelope, putting the stickers on, all that stuff. And when I walked into the post office the next day, they're just like, whoa, what is this? And it took them almost a half hour to press. I mean, these were like dozens, if not hundreds of envelopes that I was sending out. And it's funny because I'm the summer sucks guy. And I remember it was like the middle of August and somebody just like drove by and I'm walking down the street or something. And I just hear summer sucks as someone's driving by. And I'm just like, yeah, it's like, because there's only one person that's for me, you know? It's just great.
What he's not telling you about the story was that the board of directors of the Indian Lake Chamber of Commerce was around the corner and saw this all. No, I'm just kidding. Summer is a great time in Indian Lake, but winter is a lot more fun.
Well, it's a lot more fun for me. You know, I understand why people love it up here in the summer. It's a great place. I mean, as much as I rag on summer sucks or whatever, I mean, I understand the value of me living here all year round. I do truly love all the seasons, some a lot more than others. But just for me, winter is just such a, you know, it's just such a bright shining sun. You know, it's like the sun. It obscures everything else. It obscures all the other good stuff in the sky, like the sun and the stars and the moon and all that stuff. But you know, there's a reason why our year, you know, our summer population, you know, triples the population of Indian Lake. There's a reason why a lot of people come up here in the summer, because it is a great place too in the summer.
That's a great story. And 21 years in, and in his prime, his fighting prime, loving life, loving Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Red Sox, and summer sucks. Darren Haar, Mr. ILSnow.com. Thanks for taking some time to chat and share with our listeners a little bit more about the history of things. And next episode, we're going to ask you a little bit more about the issues with snowmobiling, because I know there have been a lot of hot button issues this decade, some of which you've been on the outside of, some of which you were right in the middle of. And we'll look forward to talking about that in the next podcast.
All right, as Arnold says, I'll be back.
Hey, thanks, Darren. Darren Haar, Mr. ILSnow.com and Indian Lake Chamber of Commerce, the Adirondack snowmobiling king that I have crowned, self-proclaimed. Anyway, we'll see you next episode of the Trail Talk Podcast. For UpstateSnow.com, I'm Rich Lupia. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Trail Talk Podcast. For more podcasts, weather information, and snowmobile information, visit UpstateSnow.com.